to stand in the need of prayer, amen. Those are the times that I feel the most led. Those are the times that I feel the strongest. Those are the times that I feel the peace of God overshadows my life, amen.
Amen.
And I sure am glad that we can go to God in prayer. Thankful for a church that still has Wednesday night prayer meetings. Say amen right there.
That's right. Amen.
Many people tonight who will sit in their recliner and watch the ball game, and it won't help them one bit get closer to God. Amen. And I'm for recliners and I'm for ball games. Amen. But on Wednesday night, this is where you need to be. Amen. Praise God right there. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and go with me to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Amen. Love the Word of God.
Amen.
I like it when it steps on my toes. Amen.
Yep.
There's some things in this book that are hard to swallow sometimes.
Amen.
But He never said it'd all be sunshine and roses. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
But I'm glad that God's Word, it's perfect. It's perfect. We never have to worry when we go to it whether or not we can believe what it says. We never have to worry about whether or not we can trust it,
amen.
You know. And there are times that it's going to reprove. There's times it's going to correct you. There's times it's going to convict you, amen. But that's what we need as children of God.
Right.
We need reproved. We need corrected. We need convicted. Me and Tom and Larry ate a big old pizza today after we were working on these lights. And Brother Larry told a story about when he was a boy up in Alaska. And it was the typical, I had to walk to school in negative 40 degree weather. It was one of them stories. It started out that way. But he was telling me about one time he got in trouble, him and some other boys, and the preacher broke out the teacher broke out a big long paddle with the holes in it, you know, that doesn't have much air resistance to it. He was telling me about getting paddled, you know. But he learned his lesson. Amen. He said that. He said, I didn't run through the halls again. And every now and then the Holy Ghost has got to break out that paddle, amen?
Amen.
Every now and then that rod of correction needs to strike our lives and needs to show us, hey, you need to do right, you need to do this. There are things in the Word of God and they're not there idly. There's no idle word in that book, amen? It's all there for a reason. And I'm glad for the correcting hand of God. I'm glad for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, amen? And we sang that psalm. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And God helps us to trust Him more, and He helps us to obey Him through His Word. Hallelujah. And Philippians chapter number 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 this evening. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Amen. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we could get a hold of that verse right there, amen. I wouldn't have to do much more else preaching tonight.
Amen.
If we could just get a hold of what verse 5 says right there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I want you to listen to the next few following verses, because this is where we're going to draw our message from tonight. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And with the help of the Lord this evening, I'd like to preach on this thought. Don't turn out the lights. Amen. Don't turn out the lights. And I know that it would come at a convenient time, seeing as how we're dealing with the change of the lights here in the church. But I'm telling you, this is just how God led me to preach tonight. Amen. And I love this passage of Scripture because it convicts me and it shows me some things in my life that I can work on. And it points out some things in my life that I need to do better so that I can be a gospel witness. Amen. I remember just a couple of, I believe it might have been last Wednesday or Wednesday before last, Miss Brenda was here with Brother Lowe, and she asked a prayer request. She said, pray that God will make me a better witness. Pray that God would help me to be bolder. Amen. That's a prayer that we all ought to have each and every single day. When you think of the likeness of the light and the gospel witness, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. God has invested so much in the local church. God has entrusted so much in the local church, and we are the body of Christ here on earth. Amen. We are the physical body of Christ. We are how God works on this present earth in today's day and age. And God has given us more than enough to do the job that He's called us to do. He's given us the Holy Ghost of God, and He's given us the perfect, infallibly inspired Word of God. Amen. And He tells us that we ought to be a gospel witness, and that our light ought not to be hid to this lost and dying world. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Each and every single one of us are called to let the glorious light of the gospel shine to this lost and dying world. The kids in the Sunday school, they sing the song and they say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Miss Lillian was telling me about a few weeks ago, it was a junior church or Sunday school. She was teaching a lesson and she had three different lights, and she was talking about not having our hearts right and sin and things of that nature, I believe. And if we do certain things, that our light is so limited. And she said, you don't want to be a little light, you want to be a big light. She was making that comparison, amen. And I'm glad that, you know, these young people, they're learning that at an early age, because, hey, there's some adults that need to get that right. Amen. Amen. There's some of us in here tonight that need to get a hold of that. Praise God. But the Bible tells us that we are to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world. If there was ever a time and a day and an age when the church of the living God needs to stand up and let the gospel light shine, that day is today. Amen. We live in a day and age when the unborn children of mothers are ripped from wombs and murdered before they could ever even see the light of day. We live in a day and age where there are places and buildings with steeples that will condone homosexuality and same-sex marriage and things of this nature that the Bible clearly identifies as sin. Amen. We live in a day and age where the Bible tells us that men call evil good and good evil. But God has given us a gospel witness in the local church in these last days, and God will enable us to live for Him and to please Him and to be a good testimony for His glory. Amen. And I want to preach on tonight three things that will turn out your light. Amen. Three things that will turn out your light. And we find all three of those things right here in this passage of Scripture. In verse number 13, the Bible says this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Listen to what it says right there, verse number 13. Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen? Amen. There's lots of things you can do that the Bible tells you to do, but if you don't do it with the right heart, amen, it's of no avail. The Bible says it's not so good that we would just do the things the Bible commands us to do. If we're just doing those things, then we're no better than the Pharisees who are fulfilling the ritualistic sacraments of their day. Amen? Amen. We're no better than the Jew and the legalist at that point. But what the Bible tells us is that not only we would do these things that God commands of us, but that we would be willing to do the things that God commands of us. I've mentioned it from the pulpit earlier before. One of the most convicting passages of Scripture in the Bible to me is in Colossians chapter number 3. It says, "And whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." A lot of times you get called to do things and they might seem pointless and you might think, well, what in the world is the point of doing this? Or, well, this isn't accomplishing anything. This isn't doing anything. But if you do it with a good heart, amen, if you do it with the right intentions and you do it trying to glorify God in it, you can do just about anything and glorify God, amen. As long as you have the right spirit about it, as long as you do it with the right intentions, and your intentions are to glorify and acknowledge God, amen, God can use just about anything for His glory.
Amen.
He says, whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. The Bible says in the 100th Psalm, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And I'm not going to stand up here this evening and pretend to be more spiritual than I am. I understand that it is easy for Christians to get weary in well-doing. I understand when you do the same thing week after week after week after week and it seems like nobody else wants to help. I understand how it's easy to get weary. I understand how it's easy to look at other people and to get upset and to think, well, why don't they want to help? Why don't they want to serve God? Why don't they want to come on Wednesday nights? Why don't they want to volunteer to do this? Why don't they want to do this? But that's not the attitude the Bible tells us to have, amen, because you let that get a hold of you. It'll put a grudging spirit in your heart. It'll make you unwilling, and you'll find yourself going through the motions. You'll find yourself doing it just to please people. You'll find yourself doing things with the wrong motives, amen? But the Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness.
Amen.
Hey, I don't have to preach tonight. I get to preach tonight.
Amen.
I don't have to pastor this church. I get to pastor this church, amen? I don't have to cut the grass out there. I get to cut the grass out there, amen? I don't have to change the lights. I get to change the lights. Amen? And as dumb as it might make me look, and as silly as I might look, and as frustrated as I might get, I'm glad that I get to do it for God. Amen?
Amen.
God lets us do this work for Him, and it is an honor and it is a privilege to do anything for God. Hey, it don't matter if it's running the sweeper. Amen? It don't matter if it's wiping down the pews. It doesn't matter if it's cutting the grass. It don't matter if it's preaching in the pulpit. It doesn't matter what it is. If you get to do something for God, be glad that you get to do it. Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot of people that would love to do what you want to do for God. Amen? There's a lot of people who are in heaven right now who wish they still had the opportunity to serve God. They wish they'd have left a better testimony on this earth. Amen? The Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. The first thing that will turn out our light is the wrong attitude about service.
Amen?
Amen? The wrong attitude about service. And like I said, there's times that I get weary in well-doing. There's times that I get tired. There's times that I get exhausted. There's times that I question things and I think, what is the point of doing this? But we need to have one of those Holy Ghost reality checks, amen?
Amen?
We go in the Bible, just like we studied in Sunday school last week, and it talks about how we were, you know, enemies of God, alienated from the promises of God, lovers of self, and following after the lust, and following after the devil, amen?
Mm-hmm.
We need to realize that it is such a privilege, amen, to serve in the house of the Lord and serve in the ministry of the Lord, amen? The Bible says that in those last days, or rather during that millennial reign, that those who will be ruler over many are those who are faithful in few. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Faithful in few things shall be made ruler over many. And you might think, well, my service or my this or that, or you putting out that track, that's not a big deal. And I tell you where you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. And I tell you what can really make the wrong attitude, give you the wrong attitude about service is when you start comparing yourself to other Christians. Amen?
Amen.
When you as a preacher, I start comparing myself to other preachers and look at their meetings and look at their churches and things like that. God didn't call me to be them. Amen?
Amen.
God called me to be me. God called me to be the pastor of Crossroads Baptist Church. Amen. I believe that God has led me to do that. Amen?
Amen.
And you start comparing your behind the scenes to people's highlight reels. Amen? You can get yourself in a bad position. You can get yourself mixed up, and you can get yourself in a place where you're serving grudgingly. Amen? The wrong attitude about service can turn your light out. Amen? I've met many of people who did things for God, and they did things every week, and it seemed like they weren't happy to do it. Amen? God presents you with an opportunity to serve Him no matter what it is. You ought to thank God for it.
Amen.
For it is God which worketh in you, what does it say, both to will and to do. Not only that you would do these things that are commanded of you in the Scriptures, but that you would be willing, but that you would want to do these things. Amen? The wrong attitude about service, verse number 14, we'll move on to the second point here. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Amen? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Not only can the wrong attitude about service turn out your light, the wrong argument among the saints can turn out the lights. Amen? And y'all got to back me up here. Y'all got to say amen right here.
Amen.
The wrong argument among the saints can tear a church apart. Amen? You know the Bible, if you go into the sixth proverb, you know what the Bible says? And I take the Word of God seriously, and I fear God with all my heart, and I'm telling you, when the Bible says in the sixth proverb, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate, and yea, the seventh is an abomination unto Him. And you know what that seventh thing He mentions is? He that soweth discord among the brethren. And it might seem simple, and it might seem innocent, and it might seem like a little bit of gossip here and there, but understand that you are trying to undermine the very foundation of the church of the living God.
Amen.
When you sow discord among the brethren.
Amen.
He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. I heard a story of an evangelist friend of mine. He was traveling down a road preaching somewhere in West Virginia. And he was driving down the road with the pastor, and there was a Baptist church on the right-hand side of the road. And one half of the roof was one color of, what's it called?
Shingles.
The shingling on one side of the roof was one color, and on the other side of the roof it was another color. And Brother Brian looked at that preacher, and he said, that looks kind of silly. And he said, well, he said, the pastor, he kind of caved to the people. He said, one half of the people wanted the roof one color, and the other half of the people wanted the roof another color, so they had to settle. Man, that is ridiculous. Hey, I bet that's not a church that's doing a whole lot for God, amen? If they're so worried about the color of the shingles that are on the roof, amen? Hey, there's bigger things to be concerned with, amen, than about the color of the shingles on a roof. The Bible says in the 20th proverb, it says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling, amen? And so many of Christians in little country churches all up and down these hollers in Kentucky and West Virginia, and I'm sure anywhere in this world that you can go, they spend their entire church life, they spend their entire church membership with somewhere just arguing with one another, just fighting with one another, just trying to run things. The Bible says, Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence, amen? There's a preacher friend of mine, he's got a picture in his office of a big gorilla. And he's sitting there and he's got his fist down and he's got his chest puffed out. It just looks as silly as you can imagine. And right below that picture of that gorilla, it says that verse. It says, Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence. How silly do we look, amen, when we make things all about us?
Amen.
How silly do we look when we cease from the strife, amen, when we just continue on meddling in things that don't matter and are going to have zero eternal value, amen? I tell you, a lot of times in the Old Testament, you go back in the Old Testament and you read about failure after failure after failure after failure of God's people. And many a times it was brought on about by this same phrase that we find in our New Testament in Philippians chapter number 2, murmurings and disputings. Amen? The wrong argument among the saints can cause you to lose that gospel witness. Amen? Psalm, the 133rd Psalm, behold, how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments.
Amen.
God gives this illustration. He said, to look down and see the unity of the brethren and the church of the living God, He says, it's beautiful. It's pleasing to look upon. Amen. You go back in the Old Testament. And y'all got to help me preach right here. You go back in the Old Testament, you look at Moses. Amen? You look at all the trouble they gave Moses. And you look at all the judgment of God that came on God's people when they started giving God's man a hard time. Amen? And many a times you find that phrase, it says murmurings and disputings. And Paul said, that's why Paul said murmurings and disputings, let them not be once named among you. Amen? God's people found themselves in a lot of trouble. They found themselves in a lot of heartache when they started giving God's man a lot of trouble. Amen? And I've seen many a churches close their doors because they wanted to starve out that preacher and they wanted to run off that preacher. Amen? Hey, I'm glad that I'm in a church tonight that is willing to take up an offering for a preacher that's not even here anymore. Amen? I believe the man of God is worthy of double honor, man, to give 10 years of his life and devote his life to this church and this ministry for the work of God. I'm glad to see that there's some people, amen, that are still willing to honor that. That blesses my heart in here tonight. We find many of people, you know, they'll buck the preacher. They don't want to hear anything he's got to say. They don't care. They don't care about what he's got to say. It's not his show, you know. Hey, it's not about the preacher in here tonight. It's not about you in here tonight. Amen. It's about Jesus Christ, and it's about us in this room working together to accomplish the will of God and see people saved and see people get in that baptistry and see kids downstairs getting discipled for the glory of God and see adults out knocking on doors and winning people for Christ. Amen. That is what it's about.
Amen.
And you want to have a church with a gospel witness and with a testimony like that? Amen. It's got to be a church that has unity. Now understand this, I want to make myself clear here. You can never sacrifice truth for the sake of unity.
Amen.
I'm not talking about ecumenical compromise, amen? I'm not talking about yoking up with a church that believes you got to work to keep your salvation, amen, for the sake of unity. I don't believe in that because I believe the Bible says that Christ came rather to bring division than peace, amen? And God's word is sure and it'll stand forever. And it's never going to change, amen? But in order for us to keep that gospel witness and that gospel light glowing, we have to stay away from the wrong argument among the saints. Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen to this. Till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part. Amen. It takes everybody in here tonight to have a church run. Amen? Making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Now, if I'm out there splitting log, running a log splitter or something, getting firewood ready for the house, and I one of my fingers gets taken off with that log splitter, you better believe I'm calling Brother Larry, Brother Tom, or somebody. I'm saying, hey, I need a ride to the hospital. I got to get this thing attached before, you know, before it dies out, before it can't get attached. And how silly is it that oftentimes you see churches and somebody falls by the wayside or somebody gets into sin and somebody stumbles and falls, amen, and they say, oh, well, that's a shame. God bless them. I wish them the best. God bless them. Now, if one of my fingers gets chopped off, friend, I'm going to do everything I can to get that thing stitched back on, sewed back on, and get it working again. Amen. I'm going to want it to work just like it did before it got hacked off. So why ought the Church of the Living God, as the body of Christ,
amen,
treat its members that way? The Bible says every part which supplieth. And I believe a little bit further on in that scripture, you get to read and it talks about the problems and the murmurings and disputings between the body of Christ. It said the foot wants to be the ear and the eye wants to be the nose and all these things. Hey, as long as I'm where God wants me to be, doing what He wants me to do, I'm happy. Amen. If God never called me to pastor a church again and He wanted me just to sweep the floors and that's all He wanted me for, as long as I was in the will of God, I'd be happy. I've experienced what it's like to be outside of the will of God. And let me tell you that you'll be miserable. Amen?
Amen?
God has a job for each and every single person in this room tonight. God has something for you to do in His house and never, ever treat yourself like your job isn't important. Every job is just as important as another in the house of God.
Amen.
And when we fail to realize that, and when we start thinking to ourselves, man, it ought to be me doing that, or I ought to be doing that, that's when those murmurings and those disputings come.
Amen.
Just like Korah, amen? Remember the sons of Korah? They came to Aaron and they said, hey, we ought to be the ones serving in the temple of the Lord. We ought to be the ones in the tabernacle. And so they tested God, and they brought those rods before the Lord, and they laid them before the holy place, and they said, the rod that buds, that'll be the one I approve of. And wouldn't you know, it was the one God called in the first place. It was Aaron's rod. And what did God do? He peeled the ground open and swallowed those men whole. Amen? I'm glad that God doesn't work in Baptist churches like He did in the Old Testament tabernacle. Amen?
Amen.
There'd be a lot of preachers, and there'd be a lot of church members getting in trouble. The wrong argument among the saints will cause you to lose your gospel witness. I don't want people to drive past this church and say, yeah, church, all they do is argue. All they do is run off preachers. All they do is this and that. And they can't agree on one thing. And that's just how it is. Look at their roof. It's got two different colors on their roof. I heard half the church is fluorescent lights and the other half's LED. We don't want that kind of testimony. Amen? And last but not least, I'll finish with this. Lord, help us. Not only will the wrong attitude about service and the wrong argument among the saints turn out your light, but the wrong accusation about sin. Verse number 15. That ye, Paul's talking to the church, Paul's talking to me, Paul's talking to you, God's talking to us.
Amen.
That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know what makes me sick? When you see churches that you can't tell apart from the world.
Amen.
When you see people who claim to have a gospel witness, but you can't tell them apart from the world.
Amen.
Amen. Your typical barstool preachers. And there's churches, they're all over the place, and they're only growing more and more as the days pass. They try and take the most wicked worldly music they can, rap music, rock and roll music, whatever it is. And they take that worldly tune and they take, Bible words, and they put them to those tunes, and they get people all confused and thinking that, that's the way to worship God.
Yeah.
Brother Lowell and I, we talked about it a little bit last week. There's a fine line, amen, between godly, separated, holy worship and the wickedness of the world, amen. And what the world wants to do is get as close to that line as they can. Amen? They want to change. They want to pervert the church.
Amen.
I've said it a million times. I'll probably say it a million more times. You can't expect a church that changes itself to be like the world to go out and change the world. Amen?
Amen.
Church ought to have an impact on the world. The world ought not have an impact
Amen.
On the church. And the Bible says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. You see, a lot of times in with my age group and these Reformed theology guys and these hipster preachers with their skinny pants and their V-neck shirts that come down to their belly buttons, and I'm telling you, and they say that craft beer is just a hobby, and as long as you don't get drunk, it's okay. The Bible condones it. It's nothing but wickedness and it's nothing but worldliness. And what you're doing is you're spotting and you're staining that testimony that you have. The Bible says that you might be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke.
Right.
You think anybody is going to care what I have to say behind the pulpit if they see me buying beer off the gas station next door?
Yeah.
Or if me and Brother Larry go into the Waffle House for breakfast and we're just cussing and talking like a sailor, You think they're going to want to come to our church?
Yeah,
they want to see something different. They want to see something real. Hey, and I mentioned, I mentioned just a minute ago how it's particularly this younger generation that's coming up that's infatuated with this worldly Christianity and these things of this nature, this new Christianity. Amen. We don't have to change anything about it. But this particular age in this young group, what they want, what they seek after is that entertainment. There was a poll that was taken, and so many young people my age are getting out of church because they see how empty it is. They see how shallow it is. They see that there's nothing to it. And they were interviewed, I believe it was the Pew Research organization, they interviewed them, and an overwhelming majority of people my age, you know what the number one thing that they said that they wanted out of a church was, Brother Larry? They said they wanted it to be authentic. They said, we just want something real. We don't want something fake. See, they've experienced all the smoke and mirrors. They've experienced all the rock and roll. They've experienced all the worldliness. They've experienced all these things, and they understand that there's nothing to it. Amen? There is dead man's bones, as the Bible says. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. You represent Christ in your home, in your family, in your workplace, in your community, out in public. You represent Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Don't go out and give your server a hard time at the restaurant and treat him like a dog and then lay one of these down on the table. I'm telling you, don't do it, because it's got this church's name on it. Amen.
Amen.
You leave a good testimony outside of these doors. Amen. Even when it kills you. Amen. The Bible says, if a man smite you, turn and give him the other cheek. Amen?
Amen.
Let him see that you're blameless, that you're harmless.
Amen.
That there's something different about you that compels you to live a life that's holy and separated unto God.
Amen.
In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
We are made the righteousness of God. We are given the Holy Ghost of God when we're saved, and we're provided a lit path each and every single waking moment of our lives through the Scriptures of God. But so many of us, we follow that stinking, rotten pride. We follow after that flesh. We follow after the desires of our own heart, and it gets in the way of our testimony for God. And these things write unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message of which we have heard of them, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Amen.
That's right.
You can't tell me that you can go out and live a life and have a testimony of sin and still have fellowship with God. Now, you can get right and come to God with a repentant heart, and God can change your life, and God can put you on the straight and narrow path. Amen. That's what he did for me. I know he can do that. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for anybody. Amen.
Amen.
But I didn't have that fellowship with God when I was out there living that backslidden life. And I like the phrase that John uses as he's talking to these people. He says that your joy might be full. And I might have been out living in all that wickedness and living it out in all that sin, and I might have had a smile on my face while I did it. But the Bible says that while there is pleasure in sin for a season, my joy wasn't full. There was nothing joyful about waking up on Sunday morning with a hangover. There was nothing about going to work on Monday with a gut-wrenching pain in my stomach and my stomach in knots over the regrets of the things that I had done. God, the Holy Ghost, was knocking on my heart's door. I'm just glad that he broke me down, amen, before it got too late and God took me out of here, amen, because he could have, and he would have been just in doing so, because he's holy and everything he does is perfect and upright.
Amen.
Hey, I'm glad God gave me mercy, amen. And I realize that. And I'm going to do my best with the rest of the time and the rest of the breath that God gives me in these lungs to be a gospel witness for Christ. And if I'm going to make up my mind to do that, amen, I can't have the wrong accusation of sin about me. I can't go out and have a wicked testimony and expect to do anything for the glory of God. Blameless. That means unblameable or faultless. It said blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 14.
What could the people in your neighborhood say about you? What could the people who see you outside of church say about you? What could they say about your testimony? Amen. Could they bring accusations to you? Could they lay things on your account? I'm not talking about before you were saved. I'm not talking about if you were backslidden and got away from God. I'm talking about right now. The Wednesday night church crowd, amen, the faithful few. What could they say about me? What kind of testimony am I leaving out in public? Amen. I don't want any of y'all to ever have to run into somebody out in public and invite them to church and say, well, I don't like your preacher. He's a jerk. He's mean. He's a hypocrite. I saw him doing this. I don't want that to ever happen. Amen. I want to be blameless, harmless. Amen. That's what the Bible says. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, Canonsburg, Kentucky, the Ashland area, needs a gospel witness. Amen. State of Kentucky needs a gospel witness. The United States of America needs Bible-believing churches to stand up for God and let the gospel light shine. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? With every head bowed and every eye closed. That message didn't help anybody tonight, it helped me. As God has put His finger on some things in my life that I need to work on, some things that I need to change, how I can be a better witness for Him, amen? And you might be in here and you might always have the perfect attitude about serving God. You might never have any contention with your brothers and sisters. Hey, I've never seen a family that didn't have some problems every now and then, amen? You might be in here tonight and you have nothing in your life, nothing that you could change to make you a better witness for the gospel and for the testimony of Christ. But if you're in here tonight and you're like me and you know that God could work on you and that God could further and draw you closer to Him, I invite you to come to the altar tonight. There's no shame in coming to the altar, amen? Come down and humble yourself before God and lay these things at the foot of the cross. I invite you to come. Oh God, we love You tonight. And Lord, we thank You so much that You love us. And Lord, that when we fall, that You uphold us, God, that You strengthen us, Lord. And I pray, God, that You would just convict my heart of the things in my life that need changed. Oh God, I pray that You be in the midst of this congregation, that Your Holy Ghost might go in and out and about and up the aisles and through the pews and through the corridors of our heart, that You might point out those things, Lord, that we need to change, that we might be a better testimony, and that we might further shine that gospel light in this lost and dying community. God, I pray that You help us, Lord, in those times when we feel like we might have contention toward one another and we feel that strife boiling up within us. God, I pray that You help us to cease from it, God. Lord, not to continue in meddling. The devil, he just laughs, he just mocks when those things happen because he knows that we're being set aside from the task that You put before us, God. And Lord, I pray that You help us in those times when we grow weary and well-doing, in those times when we don't always have the best attitude, in those times when it gets hard and when it gets frustrating, when it gets uneasy to continue on doing the things that we're doing for God. Lord, I pray that You would uphold us, God. I pray that You'd convict us, God. I pray that You'd help us to get a good look at Calvary and what You did for us, and the simple fact of the matter, God, tonight is that it is our reasonable service to present our entire lives to You, God. Lord, help us. God, Lord, as we go outside of these doors, I pray that our communication will become Christ, as Your Bible says, and Lord, that everything about us, Father, Lord, will be saturated with the goodness and the grace of God, and that people might see that in our lives, God. When they talk to us, when they observe us, God, Lord, this world and this lost and dying world, they've got their eye on us, God, and they want to see something different. And Lord, I pray, this is a small group here tonight, but God, I know that You could use a group like this to change this entire world. Lord, let it start in our hearts tonight. Let revival start in our hearts tonight. God, there is no doubt in my mind. You're the very same God in chapter number 1, Lord, that You are in the back of the book. You're the very same God tonight, God. And Lord, I believe that You could send revival just like You've sent in the days of old, God. Lord, help us to have our hearts right. Help us to prepare our minds, Father, Lord, to follow You at any cost, Lord. We just ask You to let our light shine, God, and not let the devil's attacks get in the way, God, not let our flesh get in the way, our pride and our sense of need and our sense of wanting to feel important and wanting to have the preeminence, God. Take all that from us, Lord. Humble us, God. Help us to do our very best to give You the praise, the honor, and the glory that You deserve with the rest of this life that You've given us. We thank You for this time together. Thank You for Your Word and how it helps us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.